All right, everybody, welcome to the Barca Bloodrunners podcast. My name is Josh. We are joined today to talk about the lethargic, the slow, the boring Barcelona football team. We're joined by Kevin Williams. Kevin, how are we doing today?
Fantastic. I have just come inside from laying down mulch, because that's what suburban homeowners do in April, lay down mulch.
See, I would disagree with you. There's another option that suburban homeowners take, which is just ignore it. You know, speaking of ignoring things, Barcelona are coming off their fourth straight loss, three straight losses at home, continually three straight losses at home that were like, I think, well, I guess the Europa League loss was 3-2, but, 1-0 after 1-0 just seems to be the case. The attack looks out of sorts. We were chatting before and you made a Ferran Torres joke, which I didn't appreciate as someone who's just continually hopes that he will turn things around. I think it's easy to blame all this to say without Pages, Barcelona team is rudderless. But I think we saw signs of it before he even went out. In your head, how do you make sense of this team when, you know, 60 days ago, I guess the last time we talked probably like in mid-February, it was 4-0, and now this team can't seem to do anything on the attack. Aubameyang looks out of sorts. Dembele, Ferran Torres, everything looks out of sorts. How do you make sense of it in your head?
A number of things. The first thing is tired legs, right? With no depth, the starters have to play. That's the big thing. The reason that Dembele looks fresh is he just really came back. So tired legs, tired minds, right? I mean, they've been, first they had the first half of the season under the square-jawed Dutchman, and that was one sort of psychological beat down. Then they really had to relearn how to function. That's hard, right? And they weren't that resolute a group psychologically prior to that. And then the main reason is they've lost that team cohesion, right? I mean, so during the run, you saw that everybody had everybody's back. When one player lost a ball, there was a teammate. When a runner got loose, there was backup. You don't see that now. And that's also linked back to the tired legs thing. But I mean, the reality is, I mean, they're a tired, mentally damaged, a team that was overperforming during the run. And so you could say that they have regressed to normal. Don't forget that, you know, Koeman said this team isn't very good. And so Xavi came in and got that new manager bump, and there's lots of energy and lots of buzz, and, you know, Pedri was fit and Gavi was running around, and the press was working, and Busquets was just scooping up loose balls. And then a little bit of tired comes in and things aren't working as precisely. You're seeing Jordi Alba a lot more forward now, which is creating more space for Grandpa Busquets to ooze into. It's this domino of things that have cascaded into what we see, which is Xavi setting an unfortunate record for Barcelona manager.
Yeah, and part of me feels like, and I think the poor form started a little bit before the knockout of the Europa League, but once you get knocked out of the Europa League, I think the reality, you know, sets in. There's no trophies this year. Yeah, and I think the participation trophy is getting top four, right? Like that's the trophy for this club. That would have, I guess, if you win the Europa League, you get Champions League qualification anyways. But regardless, right, top four was all we ever hoped for when Xavi came in. That was the dream. I think they were like sitting seventh or eighth when he came in.
Eighth.
And that's still the hope, right? They have somewhat of a cushion. I think it's like 6 points. And, you know, I think that becomes a little more worrisome again based off the recent run of results. But I would still say that's kind of the, I would view this year as a success if they just simply get top four at this point. Do you buy a lack of motivation as sort of the cause of this?
No.
No? Okay.
Not at all. I mean, so the weird thing is we're thinking top four is a given. I mean, look, had someone told you when Koeman left that this team would be sitting second in the table with, what, five to play, six to play, you would have laughed your head off, right? So, I mean, I think that they're still overachieving. I mean, this is not a very good football team. This is a Europa League team, right? And so I don't think there's a lack of motivation. I think that there is just, I mean, they're regressing to mean. I mean, they, as I, my last piece at the blog, I cited the Dennis Green rant where he said of the Chicago Bears, they are who we thought they were, right? I mean, this team is exactly who we thought they were. And that 14 match unbeaten run seduced us into thinking they were more than the sum of, I mean, look, you got another Jenner window was a player who, and I know people will argue with me, but if he was as good as people think he is, City would have kept him, right? I mean, and then you've got a Dama Traore, who is the exact player that Luis Enrique jettisoned into the sun. And then you've got Aubameyang, who Arsenal was very happy to see the back of, and now we understand why. So when that's your January window, you'll get a little bump by the enthusiasm of those players, but then they will always revert back to where they really are, and where they really are is, you know, not a very good place right now.
See, I think you're right, like with perspective. At the same time, though, like the run of results was, they did a couple things against really good teams, right? Like the Real Madrid thing was obviously somewhat of a fluke, right? Benzema wasn't there. They were just coming off a crazy, it was still a Clasico, right? And then you had the win in Napoli. They beat Atletico Madrid, I believe. Yeah. Like there were results against good teams that, I don't know, like the run seemed like it would have surpassed some sort of sugar rush of a new manager or some sugar rush of a transfer window. And that's why, like, the sudden flip to the mean of, it feels like they're still playing a little bit beneath what they should be, because I look at this La Liga, like the depth of La Liga kind of sucks, to be honest with you. And like Atletico and Sevilla, we've both seen them have their moments of greatness, but we've also seen both of them look like barely a top six team. And so it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to evaluate this Barcelona team still. I'm still very confused by them. I don't actually know if they're just not all that talented, but I feel like they are kind of talented. And yet at the same time, you know, with hindsight, looking back at the run of good results and saying the words, they were spurred on by Adama Traore and Aubameyang, you're like, oh, okay. Well, now it kind of makes sense, because you're talking about two guys who, especially in Traore's case, don't have consistent runs of greatness in them. They are solid footballers, but they are not prestige Barcelona footballers. And so what you're saying makes sense. It's just hard for me to come to grips with it, because they won in Napoli and they won at Real Madrid. Like, they had these dominating results, and now I'm watching them lose 1-0 against poor teams.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they were also mentally fresh. I mean, that group was so energized, right? I mean, they were, you know, pressing like maniacs, and every time an opposition player got the ball, you would see three Barcelona players closing in, right? Now what do you see, right? The opposing player gets the ball, he takes, looks around, and there's one player, you know, rushing over like, hey, who's gonna help me with this? Well, nobody. I mean, I think that you've got a tired, mentally fragile team. And I mean, I will also fight anybody who doesn't believe that the four captains need a major rethink. You know, I think that you've got the spine of this team that has almost come to not accept failure, but understand that it's part of it's just part of life. I mean, you look at, and I hate to say this, but I mean, my heavens, Real Madrid, just losing doesn't occur to them, right? And so when you get late in matches and at stressful times, they never think, okay, this is going to happen. They think, okay, what can we do to make this not happen, right? And I think that Barcelona is fragile. They're just so fragile. I mean, they start on the front foot against Napoli, on the front foot against Real, on the front foot against Atleti. Every time they get punched in the mouth first, they wilt. You know, I mean, really, the tie against Frankfurt would have been over in Germany had they been able to finish. And so they could just finish at Camp Nou. I mean, Cadiz, they gave up that goal and fell apart. I mean, Rayo scored in the 7th minute, right? And so you had 83 minutes and then 11 of injury time. I mean, and versus Rayo, it's just, I mean, there's right now the Xavi will be really happy to see the end of the season, and he's hoping. I mean, look, the reality is the Barcelona could lose every last one of its remaining matches. Oh, you look at the schedule. Oh, they could lose every last one. Sorry.
They could. And how does that... What are your expectations, though? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
They will win half of them.
Yeah.
I think that they need to be top four. They need to make... even if they aren't a Champions League squad, they need to be in Champions League.
Yep.
Because A, the revenue, B, it's, you can't have Barcelona in the Premier Europa League. I mean, they need to be in Europe. But right now, they're Arsenal, right? They're looking to pay for a stadium. Top four is a trophy. And they're just not quite there. I mean, they're Arsenal right now.
Yeah, and honestly... I think second place flatters them, like we've been talking about. Like, if you're talking about the scope of this La Liga season, they're the fourth best team, I think. And
fifth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fifth, if you want to say that. And so, talking about money, let's turn our eyes forward a little bit. What are your thoughts on a presumed signee? Although I would argue in Barcelona's case, nothing is presumed. What does Kevin think of Andreas Christensen?
I think he is a combination platter of Longley and Garcia, right? And you know, I mean, that doesn't necessarily have to be bad, right? It may turn out bad if they don't resolve the fullback questions. I mean, let's not forget this is a team that is essentially has no fullbacks, right? They have a grandpa, they have a project, they have a fullback who really wants to be a winger, and then they have a failure from La Masia. Right, so they have no fullbacks. And so when you have no fullbacks, then it doesn't matter who you have playing center back, they're going to have a hard time. So, I mean, I think if they can solve the fullback issue, then you have Christensen as your, I mean, my guess is that he sits Garcia pretty quickly. And then you have PK, who will likely still be starting, because I mean, what are you going to do? So, I mean,
it does hurt me that I was more excited for Christensen before it came out that Real Madrid were getting Rudiger, the better of the two Chelsea center backs. That did hurt my feelings a little bit.
But that's no shock. I mean, look, whenever, so there were the Rudiger rumors to Barcelona, but nobody took those seriously because, I mean, he's going to cost money. And nothing that costs money will be within the realm of what Barcelona. Now, I mean, this, mind you, keeps in mind, they've got so many players they need to get rid of. So many. And few of them have value. And the one who does have value is leading on a free, don't forget. So.
Oh, we're going to talk about him because apparently they're sitting down again, but keep going.
And so you have all this flotsam that you have to hope someone wants. I mean, you've got, they'll probably be able to get 10, 12 million for Longley. You get nothing for Umtiti. You know, I can't think of anybody on the roster who would fetch any kind of money. So you're.
Whoa, what about Aston Villa's Philippe Coutinho?
Oh, Coutinho, yes, out of sight, out of mind. So, yeah, he will fetch money, and then they will have a payment coming due from Atleti for French Pedro. And so, yeah, they'll have some change. But the reality is they're really going to be hamstrung in the summer market, no pun intended, by the fact that they have no money. And meanwhile, the Premiership sides have all the money in the world. So that's going to be rough.
We just need a little oil money. That's all we need.
Bring back that that Qatar Foundation sponsorship and let's party, right?
Yeah, Yahoo. Let's get it going. Is it just the sensationalism of Barcelona that links these Bayern Munich players to us constantly? Like, in what world, one, would Bayern ever let Robert Lewandowski walk when they could get him for 2 more years? That's all he's asking. 2 more years.
3.
Well, okay, 2 on top of the one he already has. Yes. So okay. 3 more years. I don't think, especially now that they're not getting the Norwegian wonder kid. He is Norwegian, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's not a world where they let him go. So why are Barcelona constantly apparently having secret meetings with Robert Lewandowski's agents? Is this just sensationalism from Lewandowski's camp, or is there actually any smoke to this?
It's his camp leveraging a better deal from Bayern. Now why do
they think Barcelona has any credibility for leverage anymore?
Oh, they need a 9, and they are still they're the most desperate big club right now. Right? And the other issue, which I don't think many are considering, is maybe where Bayern is right now. They're thinking now is the time for a revamp, right? Now is the time. I mean, they're going to win league no matter what they do again next season. And so if you start thinking about what they need to be competitive in Europe, when you get kicked out of Champions League by Villarreal, that's a wake-up call. And so maybe they are thinking, and this is just me off the top of my dome, maybe they're thinking it's, let's reboot, let's lose some veterans, let's rejigger the template, and let's see what happens. That's another option. There may be smoke. No fire, maybe smoke.
There may be smoke. At the very least, they would still require probably 30 or 40 million to get him out. Oh, and
40. Start.
Yeah. And
not counting his salary.
Barcelona. Well, okay. I say that seems ridiculous, but that's about how much Barcelona spent on Ferran Torres, right? What was it like 38?
55. Yes.
55? Oh man. Okay. Let's move on. So the Barcelona player of well, like you mentioned, the one guy who has value, Ousmane Dembele. So apparently they're sitting down to talk about contract stuff again. I feel like every time we chat, there's a new angle to this. I don't know what the angle is. I know that when he gets playing time and he's not overworked, he's excellent. He's great under Xavi, just like everyone kind of thought he would if you gave him time, which is just anyone with a brain who saw him play knew that. Why would Barcelona not re-sign him if he wants to stay, which apparently he does?
So this is the weirdest thing I've seen at this club in a long time, right? I mean, you have a player who, by all outward readable signs, is happy, fully committed, very effective. He's being less effective now because Aubameyang has turned into a slug. But I mean, he's smarter on the ball. He's taken better care of the ball. Each and everything that his detractors have said, man, Dembele would be good, but he's done. And much of that is because he's been able to keep fit, right? So he wants to stay. I think that Barcelona has this notion still of their salary structure. Mind you, let's not forget it was salary structure that, you know, they were willing to shatter right when they were talking about getting Haaland. So I think the real question right now is, what value do they place on Dembélé? And that's the question that we'll only be able to answer in the next, I'd say, month. If he's not renewed by the middle of May, bye-bye, he's gone. Now, note that with Araujo, right? I mean, his side wanted $6 million per, and Barcelona began with offering like $3-3.5 million, and they settled on $5 million with incentives. My guess is that those incentives are like, you know, don't wet the bed, you know, don't kick Xavi in the head, right? And there's your incentives, right? That's my guess. So, I mean, he will wind up getting pretty much what he was seeking. Last I heard, the club was at $8 million and Dembele was at $10 million.
So that's really close.
It's really close. Mind you, his agent said 10 is where we begin talking rather than we can talk about 9. So I think that, frankly, I don't think that Barcelona is being very smart. I think that you have your best forward on the roster, a unique player in world football, a useful player, particularly if you're talking about getting a proper 9, a player who will be amazing when Fati comes back. I mean, it's madness to let him go. And if you have to flex your salary structure, you flex it, right? Because there's no replacement for him right now in world football. And his attractors will say, yeah, there is, you know, they'll cite, they'll say spend more time with Adama. They'll say Rafinha at Leeds because they've never really watched, you know, dark skin winger. Yeah, him, right? I mean, there is no replacement for Dembélé, but .. when he's fit, right? He's kept fit. And when he's fit and able to work in, he's a baller, right? And so I think that the club is nervous about making a longer term commitment, right, with that sort of money to a player who is frankly one bad step away from sitting down for 6 months.
Yeah. All right, let's stop talking about Barcelona for a minute. Before we go, let's talk about the Champions League, because there were a couple of excellent matches this week. Let's just start off with, I say less interesting. They were both great. Villarreal almost did it. It felt like they were doing the thing. Their fans were basically taunting Liverpool for 45 minutes. It was going as planned. Liverpool had chance after chance after chance, couldn't convert anything. And then the own goal slips in. And then Sadio Mane does the Sadio Mane thing, and it's 2-0. For 45 minutes, did you actually think, wow, Villarreal might actually hold this team to nothing?
No, because Thiago was too good. You can't. When you have a midfielder like that, right, then scoring goals only a matter of time. And Mane, Salah, it's just, they're too good. Now, what they needed was luck. They needed for Liverpool to forget how to football, like Bayern did. They didn't get that luck, right? And so if they get away with 1-0, they have a shot with the oft gimpy Moreno back fit, right, for as long as he stays fit this season. 1-0, they have a shot. 2-0, no, they're done.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool never looked out of sorts. They always just kind of looked like they were just doing the. They just looked like they were inevitably going to score four or five. They had, I don't even know how many shots on goal they had. They're so likable too. I hate it, but every time I watch a Liverpool match, I just want them to win. Every time.
Well, they're not a petrol club.
Yeah.
Right.
That's literally it, right? What you just described is why they're like, well, plus Jurgen Klopp's great. I mean, nobody hates Jurgen Klopp unless you're Pep Guardiola. Let's talk about the battle of the dislikables. Speaking of, like, it was such a good match, and it was just like the fact, Real Madrid just had these like individual moments of greatness when City are so much better than them, so much better than them. And it's just like, it didn't matter because Vinny did his thing, Benzema did his thing, and they have a shot going back home, which is like, City has to be a little terrified, because you only go to the Bernabeu up one goal, and that's horrifying.
Well, and you're counting on them. Don't forget that they were really, really awful that match, right? It was a good match, but I think Andy West said it best. He was like, they were terrible. And so you're counting on that happening for a second time in their house with a Casemiro back. And, and he adds so much. Don't forget that City dominated that midfield, right? And you got old man Tony oozing around back there with Casemiro back. That changes. So I think that City is nervous, right? Because look, that Benzema goal was absurd. It was absurd. Someone said the XG was like 0.031. It was just basically an impossible goal. And he scores impossible goals. At home, they're a very different team, and it would not shock me if they eliminated City.
It's pretty clear at this point, like, the two best teams in the world are Liverpool and Manchester City. Whether or not we see both of those teams in the Champions League final remains to be seen, because like you talked about earlier, like, Real Madrid just always, they never feel like they're defeated, and it's as annoying as it is with how this isn't a talented Real Madrid side compared to past Real Madrid sides. Like, their defense is weak. Toni Kroos looks like a step away from retirement, which is very strange. The only players that show up seem to be Benzema, Modric, and Vinny. And Thibaut does a decent job. Like Courtois does his thing sometimes. It's just like, and the fact that they're competing with this Manchester City team is ridiculous. A team that, you know, I mean, they were missing Benzema from El Clasico, and they got
Mendy
destroyed
also.
By what we just spent. Yeah, and yes, Mendy as well. It got destroyed by a team we just talked about looking like a mid-table Liga team. So they are confusing, and yet if they win the Champions League this year, it wouldn't be all that weird, which is just unbelievable to say if this Real Madrid team can somehow pull off a double.
No, it's maddening. I mean, and the really frustrating thing is when you look at the players they're linked.
Rudiger and Mbappe are coming in. That's going to be fun.
Well, you know, so whether Mbappe stays one more season at PSG for all the money in the world or not, yeah, he's going there. And they apparently have locked down Tchouaméni for $55 million, not coincidentally the same amount that Barcelona paid for Torres. So suddenly their midfield becomes Camavinga, Tchouaméni. My Lord, that's insane, right? And then you've got Mbappe on the wing. My guess is they'll make Vinny switch sides, or I don't know what you do with him. You've got another couple seasons out of Benzema. I mean, they could resume next season, not missing a beat, while Barcelona will still be rebuilding.
All right. Well, that was a fun way to end things.
call me Sunshine.
Kevin, it is always great to talk to you, and we will chat again soon, okay?
Yes, absolutely, Josh.